Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible to the New Testament, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The one thing. The one thing. Let me set it up. The one thing. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Here's the big idea for all month Wednesday night. It is if you knew that there was one thing, if you and I knew if there was just one thing, if we knew there was just one thing, if we did it, it would change every other thing in our life. I know I would. I believe you would. If I could discover just one thing. See, I want to eliminate distractions in your life. That's the adversary. That's the problem I'm solving tonight. I want to help you get rid of distractions so you can overcome obstacles this year. I want to help you with your focus. I want to help you eliminate the things that you need to get out of your life. The things that you're holding on to that are holding you back. The things you're holding on to that are holding you back. I want to help you have concentration and focus and remove distractions so you can overcome obstacles and your life will have this year results and no regrets. That 2020, your life will be full of results and no regrets. Should the Lord tarry in 2021, first Wednesday night of January, when you and I get together, you and I will look back on this year with no regret and nothing but results. Because we learned what to do. There's so many voices, so many distractions, more than ever in my lifetime. And so you and I, we have to learn to know how to eliminate those distractions so we can overcome the obstacles in our life and get results and not regret our life. Because our life is so short. We got to make every day count. So we're talking about the one thing. Everybody say the one thing. You know, I remember Three Dog Night. Anybody remember that group, Three Dog Night? Shame on you. But Three Dog Night, and they had a song called One. One is the loneliest number that you... You know that song. Right on, right on. Amen. And so when I was thinking of this message, I was thinking of, I don't know why, came up, pray for me. I need to renew my mind. I'm thinking of Three Dog Night. I love that song. One is... Okay, praise God. All right, so, you know, we're talking about the one thing. And if you and I knew the one thing, if we did it, it would change every other thing in our life. I think we would do it. We heard it tonight in our story, that wonderful family. They said when they put God first, everything else changed. Kim and I got married in 1973. Think about it, Gene. We're getting close to you and Lenois. Yeah, praise God. You're our role model, you guys. But, you know, this year will be, what, 47 years that we've been married in October. 47 years. And to God be the glory. Amen. And I remember, you know, after the 2 years together in 1975, we loved each other, but we couldn't stand each other. And we were fighting and fussing and quarreling. And we weren't going to make it. We weren't going to make it. We'd throw stuff at each other, put holes in. Don't look so holy now. We put some holes in the wall. I put my fist through the wall. We'd scream and cuss at each other and go to church on Sunday morning. Come on now. Don't look so holy. And you know, I mean, in the natural, we were headed south. I mean, in the natural, we should have been happy. You know, if you're new to our church, here's my narrative. That you know, she grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up in an Assembly of God church. We grew up with great Christian heritage and family. And we got married in church. And she was born again. And I was born again. And we loved God. We loved each other. But you know what? You know, I was after the American dream. What was on my mind was things, possessions, success, accumulation. And you know, God bless me. You've heard the story. I had a new car, I had a new motorcycle. I'm a car guy, motorcycle guy. And you know, I'm into all of that, have been since I was 14 years old. And we were going to build a new house, but we were unhappy. We were miserable. We couldn't stand each other, but we loved each other. Watch this now. That one Sunday morning, I said, I just couldn't handle it anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. The frustration, the emptiness, being unhappy, unfulfilled. And that one Sunday morning, I ran to the altar. And what did I do? I did the one thing that was the most important thing. And I said, God, I'm going to pursue you and your plan for my life. I'm going to pursue you and your plan for my life. And that's the one thing that changed everything in our marriage. So now we can look back 47 years and say, thanks be unto God by his grace. But if we hadn't decided, both of us, to do the one thing, then any other thing would have never changed. The one thing, what's the one thing that if you and I would do it, it would change everything else, our health, our marriage, our finances, everything? What is it? Here it is. It's pursuing God and pursuing God's plan for your life. Pursuing God and pursuing God's plan for your life. Pastor Kim, I don't know if she realized it, but she prayed that in her prayer tonight. And then we saw it in the life story tonight. And then we sang about it tonight. I don't know if you're going back through everything we've done up to this point. In some of the songs, we sang about seeking God, pursuing God. And she prayed it over us. And then we heard the story. I think God's trying to set us up in this 21-day challenge. Because what are we doing in church together in our 21-day challenge starting Saturday? We're saying, God, the one thing that's the most important thing that I can do for the next 21 days is pursue you and your plan for my life. And when you do the one thing, which is the most important thing, everything else will change in your life. Can we give God a praise? That's what we're going to talk. Come on, let's give God. Whoa. Pastor, you know, my marriage is rocky. Then focus on the one thing. Pastor, my finances, I can't get ahead. Then focus on the one thing. Pastor, my health, the doctors don't know what to do. I'm taking medication. I'm reacting to it. It's not working. What should I do? The one thing. The one thing, make sure it's the most important thing. The one thing must be the most important thing. And the one thing that's the most important thing that will change everything else in your life is pursuing, being a God chaser. Pursuit of God. Pursuing God and pursuing God's plan for your life. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so let's build on it, okay? Let's build on it. And let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at the Word, because the Word of God is God talking to us, right? The Bible is God talking to us. So the main thing, or the one thing, the one thing. Of course, my brothers and sisters, I really do not think that I've already won it. And what is it in the yellow? Oh, it's in the Bible. It is in the Bible, the title for our series, The One Thing. It is in the Bible called The Principle of the First. We're talking about priority, the law of the first. We're talking about, if I knew that I could just change one thing and it would change every other thing in my life, I'm up for it. I'm in for it. It's a lot simpler, you know, more with less. More through less. More through less. Let's remove the distractions and let's become more focused and single-minded and focus on the most important, the one thing. And here's what Paul said. He said, this one thing I do. How many things? One thing. Now, you and I could do a lot of things this year. You and I could do a lot of things this year. You and I might want to do a lot of things this year. But we must do the most important thing this year. I mean, you're like us, probably our family. We've got goals for this year, things we want to do, travel, this, that, and the other, and things we could do. But you know what? Those aren't things that we must do. What we must do is the one thing. I don't have an option. The one thing that must do is what? Pursue God this year and pursue his plan for our life. So he said, this one thing I do, however, is to, what's it say? To forget what is behind me. Wow. And do my, not half-heartedly, not minimal, not just enough. Champions always do extra. Champions always do extra. So notice he said, I'm going to give my best to focus on the one thing. Well, what is the one thing, Paul? The one thing is to forget the past and to reach for what is ahead. Oh, I like that. And what is that, Paul? The next verse, verse 14. So I run straight towards the goal. Setting is in the Bible. The word goal is in the Bible. So what does he say? The one thing. We have many goals, but what's the most important goal? We have many things, but what's the one thing that you and I have got to do this year? If we want our marriage to change, our health to change, our finances to change, our ministry to change, our anointing to change, our influence to change, our perspective to change, our habits to change, then the one thing we have to do is pursue God, seek God and His plan for our life. That trumps anything else in our life. Can I have a witness with that? Trumps anything else. So he said, I run straight towards the goal. So Paul was a goal setter. Towards the goal in order to win the prize. What is the prize? What is the goal? God's call. God's call. God's call on your life is the most important thing in your life. That you find it and fulfill it. That's the one thing. You and I do not want to stand before God. And my brother and sister, every one of us, and a lot of Christians don't like to hear this today, but every one of us will stand before God. And we'll give an account for what we did with what He gave us. And we don't want to stand before Him, us Church on the Rockers. And we don't stand before Him and He says, well, half done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, partially done. You are distracted, and I'll just give you a little leeway. Come on in. Now, He's not going to say half done, partially done. We want Him to say, well done. What is your number one goal? God's call in your life. What is your number one goal? What's the one thing that's the most important thing? That if we do that thing, every other thing will change in our life. Pursue and seek God and His call for our life. Wow, don't you love the Bible? Man, I love the Bible, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. Okay, let's look at Matthew, guys. Matthew chapter 6, I think that's our next one, verse 33. And He will give them to you. Those are the things that we need. He will give them to you if you give Him first place in your life. The previous verses, remember, it's talking about what the Gentiles search for, all the needs that they're worried about, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they're going to live. And then He says, He'll give everything you need if you will give Him. So what is the one thing in your life? Make Him first place. What is the one thing in your life? Is to seek God and His call for your life. And everybody in this room has a call of God. Everybody in this room. You are important. You have a call of God on your life. And you have a plan from God for your life. And you have a purpose. And the one thing is not making money. The one thing is not even raising your family. The one thing is not even building a career. The one thing is not your hobbies. The one thing is none of that. The one thing is that you and I pursue God and His call on our life. And when we do that, when we make the one thing the most important thing, then every other thing will change in your life. Do y'all remember the couple? When we put God first, when we put God first, everything changed in our life. Wow, when Pastor Kim and I put God first and His call on our life, everything changed. From 2 years going to divorce to 47 years and 40 more together. Amen, 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 amen. I like that. So Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, familiar to a lot of us, but I love it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What's your plan for me, God? It's a plan to... This is the Bible. Amen, church? This is God talking to us. So God's got a call. That should be the one thing you're after. God's got a plan. That should be the one thing you're after. God wants to be first in our life. That should be the one thing we're after. Come on, somebody. So I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What are they, God? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So I shouldn't be afraid of saying yes to God. And I shouldn't be afraid of saying yes to his call, his will, his plan, his agenda, his assignment for my life. I shouldn't repel from it, recoil from it, negotiate over it, run from it. When I realize God is for me and God wants to rescue me and God has a call and a plan and a will for my life and it's to prosper me, then I'm going to make that the one thing that I seek, go after in my life, every day of my life, God and his plan for my life. And when I make that the main thing, then every other thing in our marriage changed. In our finances, changed. In our health, changed. Isn't God good? So I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and give you a future. Next verse, verse 12. Then you will, wow, how are we going to find this plan, God? How are we going to know your call? How are we going to discover it? You'll call on me and you'll pray to me and I will listen to you. Next verse. Then you will what? What's the one thing we should be doing? Seeking him and seeking his plan for our life. Apostle Paul called it him and his call on our life. Jeremiah calls it God's plan on our life. We should be seeking him and God's plan for our life. He said that you will seek me and then you will find me, but you've got to seek me with a 21-day challenge. All your heart. Got to go all the way. You got to go all the way. You got to go whole hog. And you go all the way. You know, Kim and I were sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we were to a point in our life that if nothing changed, we would walk away. And thank God we decided that, you know what, the main thing was not anymore going to be ourself, our selfishness, our own wants, our own desires, things we might want to do, things we could do. The one thing was going to be know God and know his purpose for my life. And then dedicate my life to fulfilling that. Amen. And when you do the one thing that can change every other thing in your life, when you realize that, you do what I did in 1975, run to the altar. And surrender your life and say, oh, God, you're for me and not against me. You want to prosper me. You want to give me a future. You want to give me hope. You want to do good things in my life, not to harm me or hurt me, but to help me. Wow. That's the one thing. And you know what? That gets rid of distractions. You know, once you find out that you're going to make God priority and God's plan for your life, it removes and eliminates a lot of other things in your life. Because if other choices and opportunities come your way that don't contribute to you knowing God and knowing God's call for your life, you don't have to think twice about saying no. You eliminated a whole bunch of choices. Wow. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's our 21-day challenge. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Look what it says, family. Daniel said, and I set my face for a 21-day, and it was 21 days. Daniel fast for 21 days. Why 21 days, Pastor? They tell us 21 days in a row. Can't miss one. You develop a new habit. Oh, my goodness. I believe, like Pastor Kim said, we've been doing this since the cows came home. I don't know when they came home, but we've been doing it a long time. You know what? And I'm believing with her that this is going to be the greatest 21-day challenge we have ever seen in our life. We're going to get greater results than we've ever seen in our life. Imagine. You got to confess that. Okay? So I set my face to do what? To the Lord God to? Okay, God. So the one thing should be in our life, the most important thing, eliminate all these distractions in our life and focus on putting you first, discovering your plan, and fulfilling your will for my life. Okay, God, how do I do that? How do I discover that? By seeking you? Okay, God, how do I seek you? Let's just start off on the very first rung of the ladder. How do I seek you, God? Daniel tells us, through what? Prayer and fasting. We seek God. We do the one thing by prayer and fasting. How cool is that, church? And then verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God, And I made my confession and said, Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God, it means awful, it means amazing, who what? Keeps his covenant? Wow. So how do I seek God? And how do I find God? And how do I find his plan for my life? That should be the one thing that we're all concerned about. And to show that we're going to do it with all of our heart, we're accepting the challenge of a 21-day fast with God's help and God's grace. What to fast? Well, Pastor, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to show me what to fast. And then I'm going to take that time and I'm going to pray. Amen, church? That's what you do. If you just fast and don't pray, read your Bible, you're on Jenny Craig. You get that when you get home. You're just dieting. You're just dieting. You're just watching your macros. So it's got to be prayer and fasting. Y'all with me? So we seek God how? Through prayer and we do the one thing, which is what? Seeking God through prayer and fasting. And notice when he was praying, what did he do? He was praying to the God who keeps his covenant. And he's about to pray the nature and character of God. He's praying the word. So you and I can do the one thing, which is the most important thing. It's not getting married. It's not having kids. Not raising a family. No. Oh, Pastor, I said, if you don't know God, you're going to raise a dysfunctional family. If you don't know God and you don't plan for your life, how are you going to help your kids discover God's plan for their life? You can't take people where you haven't been. You can't take your kids where you haven't been. You can't show your kids a God that you don't know. Are you with me? So put it all together. So the most important thing is not raising your family, because without God, your family is going to hell. The most important thing, the one thing is what? Is that we know God and know his plan for our life. We're pursuing it in the pursuit of God. And that's what we're doing in the 21-day challenge at Church on the Rock, beginning of the year, a new decade. We're saying, God, we want to know you like we've never known you before. And God, we have frustrations and distractions, but by seeking you, we're going to eliminate them, and we're going to discover your call, which is our goal, and your plan for our life. Are you still with me, family? Oh, hallelujah. Amen? And so what are you going to do? You're going to pray the word. You're going to pray the word. We have resources for you. Folks, when you take scripture and you pray it, that's God's will. When you take scriptures and you pray it, that's God's will. Say it with me. God's word is God's will. So when you pray God's word, you're always praying God's will. Isn't that cool? Well, Pastor, it doesn't say in there, you know, I'm worrying about moving or who should I marry. It doesn't say thou shalt marry Bill or thou shalt not marry Susie. But it will tell you what to look for in a Bill and what to look for in a Susie. Come on. Okay, moving right along. Praise the Lord. All right, so how do we seek God and pursue God? Well, our 21-day challenge we're about to do. I'm just encouraging you tonight. A 21-day challenge of prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. There are three non-negotiables if you and I are going to be growing believers. There are three non-negotiables if you and I are going to grow as Christians. If we're going to pursue God and pursue his plan and his call for our life, which is the thing, the one thing that's the most important thing. And when you do it, he said, everything else you need, he'll give to you. So when you do the one thing, wow, then it will change everything in your life. But let me just say this, it won't happen overnight. It won't happen over a week. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Well, I went to church last Sunday, Pastor, and my home's still going to hell in a handbasket. Well, it took you 30 years to get it that way. It ain't going to change overnight. Come on, somebody with practical common sense. You're going to have to build some habits. You're going to have to build some things. It could take years, but you have to be consistent and faithful and stand on the word and believe God. And what you do is you keep pursuing God till things change. You keep pursuing God till things change. That sound well, wisdom and counsel. Because I've counseled a lot of people. Oh, I tried that tithing stuff and it doesn't work, so I quit. I tried that praying stuff, but it doesn't work. You didn't try it long enough. A commitment that I'm going to pursue God until things change. All right? Say it with me. I'm going to pursue God and his plan which is the one thing until everything else changes in my life. Oh my goodness. Okay, and when? Everybody say, and when? So not if, but when. So here's three non-negotiables. If I want to grow as a Christian, I get to do these things. Don't have to, I get to. These are three non-negotiables. If I'm pursuing God, I'm doing these three things. If I'm pursuing God, which is the one thing, it's more important than your retirement, your hobby, your children, your grandchildren, because all that will go to hell in a handbasket unless you lead them into the kingdom of God by example and role model. So notice this, and when thou doest alms. Now, alms, for those of you that are new to all of this, that's giving, giving alms. So number one is, if I'm going to be a growing Christian and I'm going to seek God, number one, I get to be a giver. It has to be my lifestyle of giving. Next verse, guys. That thy alms or your giving may be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret himself shall what? Reward you openly. So when my giving is done with the right motive, God says he'll reward us. He'll reward us. So number one is giving. Next verse, guys. Next verse. And when you what? Pray. Not if, but when. It's a healthy habit of a Christian pursuing God. If I say I want God, I want his will, I want his plan, I want to know his call, I want that to be the one thing, then I seek God through my giving. Number two, through my praying. Through my giving and through my praying. Notice, giving and praying. Constant, continuous, perpetual lifestyle. So he says, and when you pray, notice this, there'll be a reward for your 21 days of prayer and fasting. So not if we give, when we give. And not if we pray, when we pray. And as the team comes out, number three, next verse, guys. And when thou prayest, there's a reward. So God will reward that. So when you're praying and fasting for this 21-day challenge, expect God to answer. Expect God to reward your pursuit. Expect God to answer and expect God to reward your pursuit of God. Next verse. And when you, notice this, and what, and when, not if, you, three non-negotiables. If I'm going to grow as a Christian, if I'm going to go after God, if I'm going to pursue God, if I'm going to know God and his plan for my life, then that should be the one thing. That's the prominent and priority thing in my life. And when I do the one thing, it will change every other thing in my life forever. So notice, and when you fast, not if, but when you fast, notice God has a reward for your fasting. How cool is that? Next verse. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint your head. Verse 18 means take a bath. That thou appear not unto men to fast. We're not fasting for men, but we're fasting unto the Father, and he will reward you openly. Three non-negotiables that have to be habits in our life to pursue God, which is the one thing, the most important thing in our life. If we want every other thing to change, and right now at the beginning of the year, we're all open to change. I'm showing you how to eliminate distractions, overcome obstacles, and get the change you want in your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, your health, and your finances. Wow. So how do we do it? How do we do it, Pastor? Break it down even more, all right? Let me give you five things right now. This is so important. You and I want to be the architect of our environment. In other words, you want to create an environment that will cause you to pursue God. Do you know what I mean? And accomplish his goals and call on your life. You don't want just things to happen. You don't want things just to clutter and accumulate and get sloppy and whatever will be, whatever will be. You and I want to be the architect of our environment. Can you say that with me? The architect of our environment. To reach your God-given goals, which is to pursue him and his call and plan on your life. And when you do that, all the other changes you want, God will bring to pass into your life. How cool is that? So let me share with you what I'm talking about. Here we got a few things, guys. Let's lift some. Number one, set time. You need to set time every day to meet with God. You need to set time every day to meet with God. They tell you that even those of you that go to the gym, they tell you to get the greatest results in working out. You want to work out at the same time every day. Did you know that? They tell you that if you want to get the greater results and going to the gym, you don't go one day at 8 a.m. and the next day at 8 p.m. and the next day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the next day at 2 o'clock in the morning. They tell you, if you have a fitness coach, you ask them and see if I'm telling the truth. They tell you that if you want the most from physical fitness in the gym, you set the same time every day. So if that works in the natural, it's going to work in the spiritual. So you need a set time. That's what I mean by the architect of your environment. Okay? Habits. Number two, a set place. You need a set place. John Osteen, my pastor, Kim's pastor, who's in heaven, he had a chair he called his prayer chair. It was a recliner. And when he got in that chair, that was his place for him to meet with God every day, to pursue God, to pursue God. Our 21-day challenge we're starting Saturday is to help us as a church and individually to pursue God. And we want to help each other with the one thing, which is the most important thing in our lives. So we want to encourage each other on this 21-day challenge. Can I have an amen? Okay, so a set place. Number three, here's the tools, a playlist of music on your smartphone, your computer, your cassettes, whatever. What is a cassette? CDs, you know, whatever it is. Get you a playlist of some kind of, so you're the architect. You're not just letting things happen. You're not running by the seat of your pants. You're the architect. You got to put things in your home that will help you pursue God and God's will and plan for your life. You know, there's something that in our house, there are things you're going to have to eliminate in your environment so you can create an environment to reach and do the one thing. I got an addiction in my life. Would you pray for me? I've got a really, really, really bad addiction. And if I don't keep it out of the house, I fall into this addiction. Chocolate-covered peanut M&Ms. Y'all got that addiction too? Well, we'll help each other. I am a sucker. I mean, I just am susceptible to M&Ms, chocolate-covered with the peanuts in the side. Don't look so holy at me right now. You're like, well, praise God. And you know what? If I have any in the house, I'll eat them. I've even put them in the trash before. Come on now. And went and got them out of the trash. Pray for your pastor. And so I said, I got to be the architect of my environment so I won't be distracted. Am I making sense? So guess what? I don't go buy chocolate-covered. Don't give me any now. Don't feed my addiction. Amen. But you see what I'm saying? There are some things you're going to have to eliminate. You're the architect of your environment to help you pursue the one thing that will change every other thing in your life. A set time, a set place, a playlist of praise and worship music. Number four, a Bible. A Bible. Let me just say this. You know, a lot of people are concerned about World War III right now with Iran, but there's a greater war going on. And not World War III we should be afraid of, but a greater war is the Word War. Word, not World War III, the Word War. We have a culture that's anti-Christ, anti-Bible, and anti-church. And even people, not our church, but we got Christians in the church that don't even believe the Bible anymore. I told the staff today on George Barna, he's a pollster, he does research, and today he said, I looked at it, he said 65% of American Christians don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. 65% of Christian in America do not believe, go to church, they don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. There's a word war going on, even in the church. There are preachers stop teaching the word, preaching the word, they're telling stories, they're doing entertainment, they're having videos, and they got away from the word of God. So not only is there a word war in the world, there's a word war in the church. Went on to say 65% of Christians in America who go to church don't believe in a real devil. They think it's just a evil force and not a real being, I'm here to tell you, the devil is a real person. And the Holy Spirit is a real person. And you and I do not want to get away from the Bible. It's relevant. It's our foundation. It's the promises of God. It's God speaking to you and me. It's the most powerful thing on the planet is the Word of God. Did you know that? Most powerful thing on the planet is the Word of God. The Word of God created those seats you're sitting in. The Word of God created this screen. The Word of God created this pulpit. The Word of God created the worlds. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says the worlds were created by the Word of God. The most powerful thing we have in our hands as a Christian is the Word of God. You say, no, Pastor, it's the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit works with the Word of God. The Bible is the most powerful thing you got as a Christian. So your architect of your environment, what you want to have is the Bible laying out there ready for every morning. Come on, somebody. And then number five, tools. You need a pad and a pencil. You need those five tools for our 21-day of fasting together, a challenge of 21 days, and we're going to make the one thing, the main thing, and that's to know God, pursue God, and know God's plan and call for your life. And when you make that number one, what happened for Kim and I, from 2 years going to divorce to 47 years together and 40 years in the ministry, can happen to you. Everything else will change. I'm out of time. Did y'all get something tonight? Come on, let's give God a praise for His Word.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.